Well, I'm going to start with a question. And the question is, how do you feel when somebody says they're praying for you? So I'd like to hear a few answers. When somebody says they're praying for you, or you're in my prayers, how do you feel?
Very good.
You feel very good?
Yeah.
Very good?
Yeah.
You feel loved?
Encouraged?
Blessed?
Confident.
Yeah, good one. Confident?
Humbled.
Humbled. Yes, it's humbling to think someone's praying for you, isn't it?
Yeah, we've just been talking about it. And
just in one word.
Thrilled to bits.
Yeah, we'll let you have that. That's a phrase. Thrilled to bits. So anything else?
Grateful.
Yeah, grateful and happy. Yeah. Supported. Strengthened. Cared for. Yes. Children. When people say they're praying for you, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel special? Yeah. That's great. We've got a lovely list of words here, haven't we? So it's a lovely thing, a really, really powerful thing, actually, to pray for somebody. But when you tell them that you're praying for them, it makes them feel so good, so encouraged, and so, valued. It's a really good thing. There's somebody that used to write to me who used to always sign off his emails, "You are in my prayers," or "You remain in my prayers." And it made me feel thought about and valued. It's important. And today we're having a bit of a focus on prayer. In our gospel reading, Jesus makes an astonishing statement. It's towards the end of a bit of narrative where Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time when he will be gone. And he's praying out loud. So he's speaking to his Father in heaven about what's going to happen. But he's speaking out loud so that his disciples can hear his prayers. And when we get to verse 20, he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So who's that? Those who will believe in me through their message. Well, that's us. Yeah, that's us. It's everyone who has ever believed because of the message in the gospel, and that includes us. Jesus is praying for us. So have a think there. How does that make you feel that Jesus is praying for us? He prayed for us then, and he's still praying for us now. I find that incredible. And St. Paul writes a bit more about this in Romans chapter 8. He says, Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. He's there right now interceding for us with God the Father. Now, interceding is a bit of a complicated word, isn't it? Who knows what interceding means? Can you summarize it in a simple statement? That's a bit more tricky, isn't it? Here you are. Yes?
Having a chat.
Yeah? It's, I'll tell you, this is Bishop Toby's interpretation of this. My husband Paul here and I, we went to a special service on Ascension Day at Bradford Cathedral, and he was talking about what interceding means. And he was preaching about how now that Jesus is ascended to heaven, so if you remember, he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, he lived and walked about with his disciples and did all sorts of things for another 40 days. And then on Ascension Day, he ascended to heaven. And then 10 days later, we have Pentecost. So when he ascended into heaven, he carries us as believers right into the presence of God the Father. By name, he carries our names on his heart. And he prays for us. And Bishop Toby was saying that in the same way, each of us who believe in Jesus can pray for our friends. And we can take them into God's presence in our prayers and ask for a touch of God in their lives. It's not just special people like bishops who can do that. All of us can pray for other people and take them into God's presence. And that is what interceding means. It means taking somebody or a situation into the presence of God in our prayers, and it's what we do every Sunday. And this Sunday, we're all going to do the intercessions together. We haven't got somebody leading it up there. We're going to do it together. And that's why you've got that piece of paper, and we'll come back to that a bit later. Now, in our gospel reading, what is Jesus praying for? He prays that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. So he's addressing God the Father, and he's praying that all his disciples would be so closely united, so closely involved with each other, just like the Father and Son. It's a very mutual relationship. He's praying that we'd all be one, meaning one in heart and mind. Facing the world together, united in purpose, in love, and in character, just as God the Father and God the Son are really united. That's a big ask, isn't it? That we would be just like the Father and the Son, God the Father and the Son, that we'd be that close in how we relate to each other, how we work together, live together. So being practical, what does that look like to be that close? Now this is a picture of our daughter Sarah and myself in the Alps a couple of years ago. And you could say we look very similar. Well, we do. I have to say all Sarah's friends know exactly who I am. They know that I'm her mum because we look just the same. And we've actually chosen to wear similar clothing on that day. And we are united in the same purpose. We're both wanting to climb that mountain that's in the background. And in the same way, for Christians, that unity of purpose comes from having the same work to do. Because Jesus called his disciples, and that includes us, he called his disciples and sent them out into the world to continue his work. And to bring the good news of Jesus' love for everybody, for God's love for the world. And we are sent out into the world as well, just like the first disciples. And that's why at the very end of the communion service, I will say that we're sent out in the joy and peace of Christ. And we all say, Amen. So our Christian faith isn't a private affair, it's for sharing. But there's more to this oneness than having one purpose, being united in purpose. It's a sort of unity of being. As St. John describes earlier on in his gospel, disciples are like the vine branch grafted into the main vine, which is Jesus. And we all need to keep connected to Jesus the vine to bear fruit. There's a lot of fruit on this picture, aren't there? Very, really luscious grapes. But just like Jesus is in relationship with his Father God, so closely connected are we need to be like that vine. You can't even tell where the graft is and where the original stem is. It's all the same plant. And that's why it's alive and it's healthy and it's bearing fruit. And it is something we have to work at. Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you. It's not just being in the same place. It's not just being in the same church together on a Sunday morning, having the same purpose. It's by being deeply connected and dependent on Jesus for everything that leads to spiritual life and growth. So how do we do that? Well, it does mean coming to church regularly, but it also means nurturing our relationship with Jesus in prayer, in studying the Bible, in praising God together, and in working together with other Christians, maybe working together in a team like the Messy Church team did yesterday. And that's why we've got the bunting up and we were celebrating all sorts of things. We were working as a team in order to present something that we wanted to offer the families in this village. And as we do this, as we pray and study the Bible and praise God together and work together in teams, we grow more in love and character like Jesus. And we get better at hearing him speak in our lives and realizing when he's answered our prayers. So what's all this for? Moving on through our gospel reading, Jesus prays that his disciples would be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So it's all about that close relationship, that unity of purpose, of love, of character, is all about helping other people to believe that Jesus came into the world for them and loves them. It's all about love, and it's about people discovering that they are loved by God. Whether they come to church or not, it's for everybody in the whole world. And Jesus says that he wants his disciples to be with him, to share their lives with him, to see his glory. That's to sort of look up and see how amazing, how great he is, and to share in this Father-Son love. And in our translation of the Bible, he said, I want. But what it really means is actually Jesus is talking about my desire, the longing of my heart, is for his disciples to share in that Father-Son love that he has with God the Father. He wants his disciples to be part of it so that the world would believe that he's sent by God the Father, and that God loves them just as much as he loves his very own son Jesus. And that love, of course, is really generous, and it's life-changing. Now, I said at the beginning that we have a prayer focus today, and we've been reflecting on Jesus' prayer for his disciples. So how does that affect our prayer lives? How can we respond to that in our prayer lives? Well, when we come to pray, we shouldn't just be launching straight into a whole list of requests. We need to just pause a moment and have a think and just sort of put down all those things that are sort of cluttering up our minds and actually look to God and praise God. And that's what that video was all about. We need to rejoice in his blessings, to be thankful. And that opens us up to seeing God at work in the world. And it helps us then to come to all the things we want to ask him about with the right attitude of mind. Now, in the film clip, the lady spoke about how praise helps us to worship God in all situations, helps us to grow and respond well to the dirt that life throws at us, to the stones that people throw at us. Do you remember her saying that? And she says how it brings healing and joy and hope. And even those stones that get thrown at us, the unexpected things that are really difficult to deal with, she said, make them into a platform so that you can grow taller and learn to grow and sort of overcome these things with God's help. And praising God helps us to receive from God and helps other people to see the love of God at work in us. Praise is really powerful. I've lost count of the number of people I've met who've come to this church, perhaps for the first time, and they're just bowled over by how we praise God here. And it's really powerful. They feel the joy. It's attractive. They can see that there's something happening, that we're not just going through the motions here. We really believe what we're singing and what we're praying, and there's something special about the atmosphere here. That is because we're praising God, and he's present, and it draws people closer to God. Now, in our first reading that Joe read, Paul and Silas, they were in prison and they were praising God. And everybody could hear them. All the other prisoners in the other cells, it was echoing around. They could hear them praying and praising God. And then it's when they'd been praising God that God broke powerfully into that situation. I mean, it should have been impossible for them to get out. They were in the stocks, feet in stocks, hands in chains, in the innermost room, locked away. But God broke into that. There was an earthquake. Everybody's chains fell off. Not just the chains on Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners. And God transformed the life of all those people there. And we hear about the jailer and his family, how they came to faith. He was changed from someone who wanted to stop Paul and Silas telling people about Jesus to looking after them, caring for them, cleaning their wounds, making a meal for them, and he wanted to be baptized and to follow Jesus. And he came to a really living, joyful faith. And I should think the other prisoners did as well, because their chains had fallen off too. So, to summarize, Jesus is praying for us. Let's hold on to that. How amazing is that, that Jesus is praying for us right now? And he's praying that we would be one, that we'd be united in our purpose, in our love for each other, in our character, that we would be like him. He's praying that we'd be living in a relationship of love with God, as close as he is with his Father God. And he wants us to discover the power of prayer and of praising God to help us to grow and to draw other people to faith in Jesus. So in the coming days, especially this week leading up to Pentecost Sunday, next Sunday, let's pray, come Holy Spirit, every day, and ask God to fill our hearts with the fire of his love. Amen.